In my bad, if I'm being negative, if somebody's watching this, I'm fasting for Ramadan. I'm trying to tap in spiritually. I'm trying to be a good dude, but like, I'm just so tired of it, man.
Another Latino Weed Podcast and the Latino Weed Podcast, and today we are Chris and Hennis Meyer. That's my name. I had to tell my name.
That's right.
And today we're with Yonis Daher. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, fucked up. How'd you pronounce it? Like?
I'm trying to drop the last name, but people give me a hard time, man. They're like, you can't just go by first name.
Yeah, no, my last name is Hennis Meyer. So
Daher. I think the way to pronounce it Arabic was like Daher.
Oh, I can do that. Okay.
Let's hear it.
And today we're with Yonis Daher.
Oh, there you go.
Start
doing it like that.
I can roll my arms. He's the kindest fucking comic I ever met in Chicago. He's hilarious. And he left us to have a better life in LA for a moment. And now he's back.
We're back.
And now he's back. Like, you're just like moving
it. I forgot where to put it. It's short, man.
You're like,
does it go down?
It doesn't go down.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe
you can just hold it the whole episode.
I'll hold it like this.
Just have it under your arm.
Is this good? Actually, it's not bad right here.
As you want to have it there, yeah, you can have it as long as you don't drop it.
That's true. This is an expensive microphone, by the way. This is the top of the art. I know a good microphone when I see one.
No, this is a
Rode mic.
Yeah, Rode mics. But I wanted to talk about first, how are you feeling? How's your life in Chicago coming back?
Well, it's been, you know, I'll put it back. You want to start that so back up?
No, people are going to see this.
What's it called? It's been good, man. It feels good to be back. It's just trying to, you know, like move all your things around. In the first couple weeks, I was at my mom's house, but now I got my own spot. So like, just been trying. I'm like a refugee all
That's
over
the best
again,
part.
Man.
That's the best part of like, everybody love moving.
Yeah.
Everybody love moving furniture and being like, why did daddy save this missing stuff? Yeah.
Something, you know? So it's just been chaotic, but I would say finally, as of today, I feel situated. I feel good. It's just, I'm fasting for Ramadan, so I'm a little tired. Not tired, like, it's just energetic.
Hungry.
I feel hungry.
Hungry.
And you know what I realized? When I don't eat, I'm a hangry person. You
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, once I eat, I'm living on cloud nine, but
so I brought this for you.
I would eat it right now. That's the thing. I'm trying.
No,
to
I respect Ramadan, and we're not drinking or sharing food. Mamá, si estás viendo esto, no le estoy dando comida porque él está haciendo Ramadan.
Sí.
Like my mom is like, why didn't you give him some food?
it's our culture. We got a host.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about. Because I believe you're one of the first person. Oh, by the way, he's going to be, I don't know if he released already on Netflix, it's a special.
That's right.
A joke special. And I wanted to talk because I believe we had this talk outside of mics, like outside of shows or on fucking Instagram.
It's the festival that I did.
The festival.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you said special. I'm like, I hope Netflix special one day.
But it's like Netflix a joke special. That is the festival.
Oh, that's how they do it? Oh, I didn't know.
I don't know. That's how they do it. And under that, there's like many.
Hey,
but
as
still,
long as we
that's,
get paid.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's fucking huge. And I believe when you were in Chicago, it was a struggle to get booked on shows. But then you move to LA and it really pops up.
Yeah, because the journey for me was when we started here, you know, the scene wasn't really booking me like that. So then me and my friends, we created our own independent show and we were selling tickets. It's not like people weren't coming. We were doing 200 tickets every couple months, which is crazy to think. And especially at the time, we sucked. Like we were getting better, like we were like literally my first ever day, come check me out. I had like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And like 100 people came to the show and we just kept bringing in the same community. We just created like a community. And so, and they were willing to support. Like if somebody put us on a Laugh Factory show, they would come out. And we did the Laugh Factory. Remember me and Rami were producing there for like 6 months. I don't know if I had known you at the time.
No.
I was like producing there for like 6 months in the Chicago location. And then, you know, just even just kind of like, I didn't really see the benefit of it when I'm like, why would I just do a door deal with, you know, a club? When I could just rent out my theater myself, our people are coming anyway. And matter of fact, I don't like the club setup. I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, as a fan of a community, okay, I'll go to the comedy club, but that 2-drink minimum, the fucking parking, the ticket prices. Like, my friends will come out to support me, and like 80% of that money they're spending is going to Laugh Factory or Zany's. I'm like, versus if I just rent out the club, I don't have to charge my homies two drink minimum. I could just, you know what I mean? It was, yeah, it was,
I believe that there's something that is happening that I know one guy that with other people are producing a comedy club called Bushwick Comedy Club, I believe is the name, in New York. And they apparently, they're getting super big. And one of the things that they want is, like, we want a comedy show that doesn't put, because it feels like obstacles.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a friend, it's like, hey, can you come see me? It's like, okay, how much is it? It's like, oh, it's $30.
Yeah, you're already.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Okay, but also.
Two drink minimum. Also minimum. Parking. Also the, parking. Also.
Like, and it's like, send me a video.
Yeah. I don't even, like, I can't.
I'll see your reels, man.
Yeah, like, it's too much, man. It's too much. Like, I remember my friend was like, bro, like, I'm trying to take a girl on a date to come see your show. And I just spent, like, this was when I was doing the Laugh Factory shows. I spent like $100, man. I was like, damn, that's crazy. Cause like, I don't even think I made $100. Like, you know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Like, they pocket so much. So I love to perform. Somebody books me at the Laugh Factory, cool. You know, but I'm not like gonna really go out of my way to like try to do the club. Like, I know there was a phase where a lot of Chicago comics were like, I just want to be a club comic. I'm like, I'm trying to just build my
community. Just be a comic. I just want to be a comic. But do you feel like LA opened a lot of doors that were shut down here?
Big time, because I went in there and they just took me as I am, in the sense of I was doing comedy here for 4 or 5 years before I moved to LA.
Okay.
And so, versus a lot of people go to LA and they start comedy there. My first debut, I just had a good set because I'm not an open micer. Like, yeah. I had my solid whatever 10 or whatever they had asked for. And so like that, I remember I did the debut at the Laugh Factory in LA. Somebody in the audience was booking the improv show. Then they booked me the improv, the Hollywood improv. And from there, I got the Comedy Store. And then like before I knew it, 1 month of me being in LA, I was already at all the clubs. Versus here, since I've been back, by the way, I haven't been back at the clubs here. So like, it says a lot about the scene. And it's not like here.
Yeah, you're not bad. It's not like you're a bad comic.
Even if I'm terrible, I'll give them that. Let's say I'm terrible. They're open every day of the week. You tell me you can't throw me on a Tuesday on, you know. I went
5 minutes. Give me a gas spot.
And so, I mean, like, I honestly, while I'm here, fuck it. I'm not going to lie during Ramadan. I'm going to say the truth. I don't like the people that are, not the comedians, the main, like, oh, I'm the booker of
the people behind the scenes.
What's his name? The I don't give a fuck. I don't, you know, calling him, he doesn't pick up. Like, this guy went from, I produced 6 sold out shows for you. Now you can't pick up the phone. Like, I don't respect that. As a man, tell me if
you don't like me, yeah.
Yeah, provide to me what I did wrong. And that, but you know what? Oh, that's what I did. Cool. But be a man about it. Like, you know, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
If I see these guys, it's all respect, but I'm just tired of, like, disrespect. You know what I mean?
I talked with Jamal Guchon. Jamal Guchon, amazing guy. Shout out to him.
Killer comedian.
A fucking killer. And he's being also a little bit disrespected by this scene. And he told me, dude, the fact that you're doing this, the podcast, the fact that you're doing shit that I do with Melvin Silver, that is one of my partners, actually. Every time I'm going to say in every podcast until this happens, April 11th, we have a headlining show in Red Room Comedy.
Ooh.
It's called Melvin and Christian. We're going to do 30 minutes each. So fucking buy tickets if you want to see
That's
us live.
That's how you do it. I'm going to buy a ticket and be there. I'll be there.
It's like we are, as Jamal put it, it's like there's people waiting in line to be picked. And we're like, we were in the lineup for some moment, and we're like, I want to make my own path to this.
100%.
But it's like underground, so you had to shovel the shit out of it.
It's
so
the best way.
But it takes more time. It takes more time, it takes more effort. Halfway through, you're going to be like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
But I believe it's the way we pick, because it's like, I don't want to wait for someone else to be like, oh, you know what? I like you now.
No, yeah. It's politics. Like, that politics shit. It's like, I'm funny. Let me. And if I'm not funny, don't book me. But I know that it's not like every day Kevin Hart, Fluffy, these people are at this specific Chicago location that I'm like, man, you know what? They're not putting me, but they're putting these legends up. Here, who are these? Because every great comedian left Chicago. Like, it's a great city to build in. It just, I think what's ruining the Chicago scene, in my opinion, and I never spoke about it because I'm like, man, I'm leaving town anyway. But like, now that I'm back, if I'm being honest, the thing that's holding the scene back the most is not the comedians. The comedians are some of the best in the world, not just in America. It's these like gatekeepers. It's these goofy gatekeepers that didn't make it in comedy, don't respect the craft, are like a lot of them, from what I've heard stories, they're very weird with women, very weird with any minorities, very weird and like, yeah, you know, racist, sexist, goofies. And if I see them, I wish would see this and message me. Like, I wish.
I've been like, trying to get with him, and I've been in Rose Battle in Sainis, and I know he knows me, and I have messaged many times, I don't get a spot. And there's people that in Sainis that they have been like, dude, you're really good.
You are one of the best.
And then I send them an email, it's like, hey, can I get a guest spot? And they're like, no. And they didn't even, don't reply. So it's like, I don't know what the path is. Oh, like, I don't know what I got to do. So what I'm doing is just like, keep building connections, keep networking, keep building my path. Like the Red Room show is like, that's something that we're doing for ourselves. Like, we're like, I believe we're ready for 30 minutes, but no venue is going to give us the opportunity. Let's fucking buy the, rent the fucking theater and do it ourselves.
In, so, in my bad, if I'm being negative, if somebody's watching this, I'm fasting for Ramadan. I'm trying to tap in spiritually. I'm trying to be a good dude, but like, I'm just so tired of it, man.
I just give you like a burger and just like, I love my Chicago. Everybody's, dude, my shout out to my guy. It's just like one burger away from being the best guy ever.
If invites me for dinner, I'll forgive him. You know what
I mean?
It's not even personal. I don't think he probably even knows that he's doing this. I don't think a lot of these people are even aware of what they're doing. But it's like, yo, man, you're holding the scene back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many people. And it's like, okay. Like, bro, to give you a small example, like, I never, when they remember they do the competition at Zany's?
Yeah.
Everyone was on. You just apply and you compete. I wouldn't even get accepted to compete. So it's like, how is it? I can't even compete. Like, I can't. You just let me play, whatever. Like,
let me compete, man. Like,
yeah, if I lose, coach, let the audience decide. Yeah.
Coach me. Just put me. I can do it, coach.
And that was, I think, my biggest beef with the Chicago scene. It was, I love every comedian in Chicago. I missed all of them, by the way. And like, when I was in LA, we talked, man, I can't wait to see you. And when I'm back, let's tap in. And like, there's so many. It's just like, and I think my goal this year for 2025 is to, and I think it's happening already. It's not even my goal. I think a lot of the comedians are fed up with the bullshit scene, and a lot of comedians are doing their own independent shows.
Yeah.
And I think it sucks that we're just going to do it without infrastructure. We're building our own infrastructure, and I think that's honestly the only way to do it is we just burn that old one down. My dream of 2025 is to put Zany's Laugh Factory in Chicago out of business.
Not even out of business. But you know what? Maybe
just for humble them.
No, maybe for these years, let's start to create something that it will
rise above it.
Rise at the same level. But then people will start seeing like, hey, I've been here, and maybe I like it, I didn't like it, but let's try this new one.
And I don't think a lot of people know that are watching that are just regular consumers of comedy. I don't think they realize how much these comedy clubs, one, they don't pay you when you're just a guest spot, feature spot, whatever. Like, you're not getting paid. Like, they're selling out a show, making however much money. If the headliner himself is not paying you the money, these clubs are just like kind of exploiting a lot of these Chicago comedians that are trying their best to make it. They're trying to work hard. They're bringing whatever 10 people to come support them. Those people are buying.
I love when people are like, "Dude, you're really funny. It's like you're really good at this." And then it's like, "Yeah, but I gotta go because I have to wake at 6 a.m. because I work tomorrow."
but what you're doing now with the Red Room, April 11th, that's the way to one make money because it's in house now. You're in charge of the business. You no longer need a middleman. And I think that's the best way to go about it. And I think that's the only way to go about it, really, especially if you're a minority, especially if you're somebody that was not from this scene. Like, I'm from Iraq originally. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up Rockford, grew up in, like, started my comedy in Chicago. But, like, I was telling my friend, because he's like, man, why do they don't want you in these clubs or whatever? Like, it's Chicago particularly. But like, it was just, I think like they didn't want me in the country. Some of these mothers don't want us in the country. Like, look at what the president of the United States is saying. Like, they don't want us here. So I'm not surprised by their actions.
Yeah.
So we just, like you said, we just got to build our own. And I'm happy they did that because it made us better comedians.
Yeah. But I understand the being bitter about don't put me there if I don't deserve it, but give me the chance to...
Just give me opportunity. Let me compete.
Let me compete.
And if I bomb, you show me proof of me bombing on the show you put me on, and it's then tell me. You know what I mean?
Hey, we gave you 5 minutes and you got nothing. Yeah. And it's like, okay, don't book me again.
Don't book me.
I fail. It was really bad. I know.
The only time I've been bad...
I disrespect the light. Dude, I see so many comics lately fucking disrespecting the light. Yeah. And I'm mostly... I've seen some of the new ones. They don't fucking care about the light, and it's like
not professional.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you gotta respect the light, because when you go to a club and ask you to do 5 and you do 8, they're not gonna fucking book you again.
100%. No, 100%. But sorry, I started a podcast.
No, this is a perfect. We're gonna make a pause, but this is a perfect segue for the topic that I brought. That we're gonna talk about the whole second part of the podcast. It's a little pause, okay? We're coming back, and we are back. We went for cheeseburgers, and he's in a better mood now. Like, we just did that in this pause. No, we're talking about taking things by your own hands, just building yourself, opportunities for yourself. And it's a perfect segue to the topic, because the topic is, have you ever been fired?
Fired?
Like from
no,
a job.
Never, I've quit a never, lot of jobs.
Okay, that works, because yeah. I was fired yesterday.
No. Oh, what happened?
Dude, like, okay. Not for you people. There's not going to be any names. And if I use names, it will be fake names. Because I'm not a person who like oh, I'm gonna talk back like yeah. shit about these companies. Like, the company had a really good objective, and I believe they were really trying. They have some. It was like a couple of people that were so toxic that were like filtering that into the whole environment. Mm-hmm. So, this is my story. Okay. I was working in this company. I've been there for a month. Just a month.
A month.
Umes. And I was kind of like a front desk. They have a front desk manager. I was supposed to do... I was my title was like wellness coordinator and of an office coordinator. So I was like going to help the front desk manager. And I was working with this girl, we are going to call it Monica. Monica was teaching me, like, oh, we do this like this way, we do this like this way, da-da-da-da. Like, first 3 weeks, amazing. I really loved the first 3 weeks. I was like, oh, it's so cool what the company do for us. It's so cool that they have this, so cool that they have this. Last 2 weeks were hell. And I believe it was because the company kind of keep sweeping dirt under the carpets.
What was the company idea name? Like, you don't have to like be direct about it, but
they're like a tech startup.
Okay, that's fair.
They were like, just like sweeping under the carpet everything, and they decide in these last two weeks to remove all the carpets, and they're like, "What the fuck? This is your fault, and this is your
fault.
Somebody
has to take a hit for
it. Someone has to take care of the fault for it." So, like Monica, she got fired yesterday also. And damn. This is the way Monica got fired. Monica got fired because we needed like an Apple mouse.
Okay.
And we didn't have it. So we ordered it. And we ordered 2. And like they say, like, oh, we can pay for 1 of it. And the other one, the one of the person high rank, they were like, oh, I'll buy the other one. So, okay, we buy 1 mouse. The next day, they were like, hey, where's the second mouse? I'm just like, I thought that they were going to buy it. You know what? I'll go buy it. She went to Target. They didn't have it. She went to Apple. They didn't have it. Then Monica was like, okay, I'm going to go to this place to buy it. And she was like in communication. And they're like, no, don't do that. Come back. She was coming back. She's like, you can order it from Instacart. So it will deliver. So she put like the order they have to approve it to get the mouse. And they're like, this is too expensive. So do not buy it. So she didn't buy it.
Okay.
2 hours later, they're like, where's the mouse? And she's like, we don't have it. So they took her to the CEO, and when she came back, he's like, no, you're fired.
Wow.
And it's like, what the fuck? And I was like, I panicked, because like, okay, I know now all the responsibilities from her. I'm going to just absorb that shit.
Right.
And I started panicking. I went like, okay, teach me about this. Not to her, because she left, but to whoever can teach me. Like, okay, teach me this, because I didn't have the time to learn this. Teach me about this. I was doing all of this, and I started working at 8 a.m. kind of. And usually end up working at 5:30, 5:45. So I worked like 9 to 10 hours daily.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to leave at 5:20. I was like, my shit was on, so I left. And at 7 p.m., I got a message from the person who is, like, my manager. Let's say, it's not my manager, but the person who is, above me, and it's like, hey, are you still in office? I was like, oh, no, I left.
Wow.
This is 7 p.m. No, I left. And then she sent me another message being like, well, there were some stuff that were unfinished. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Tell me what was unfinished so I can correct that. Next message was like, no, since this person is no longer with the company, like Monica, you have to stay here until the front desk is closed.
Wow.
So they expect me to be there at 7 p.m., 8 p.m., and they pay me salary. They don't pay me for extra hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is something I'm gonna deal with this tomorrow. And 40 minutes later, I get a call from the person. And I was like, I'm not going to pick up because I was in a...
And you're not in your work hours.
Yeah, I was like in a reunion. So I was like, I don't want to deal this bad energy to this. So I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Yeah.
The person left a voicemail. And I hear it. And the voicemail was like, basically...
Can we play the voicemail?
I put it here. Actually, I could. But no, I won't do that. I said I won't do that.
I'll show it to you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show it to you after.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what's up with me today.
Yeah, like, remember me because I can show it to you. But basically, the voicemail was like, oh, don't come into office tomorrow. We don't require you anymore.
Wow.
And I was like, cool.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday. Wow. That's why I could change the time too early today. That's why we're recording.
Yeah, you told me originally you were like, yeah, man, I'm free after 6. Actually, you could come today early. I was like,
all right. I was like, and this is the reason why.
That's funny. I thought you just had some hoes.
No, that would be a better story.
I was like, he's getting some head right now. I'll come out after. And I was like, oh, the hoes canceled.
So what do you think about my...
Honestly, I think this is a blessing.
It might be a blessing in disguise.
Especially because I mean, this is our first time really hanging outside of like shows and stuff.
Yeah.
I just peeped that you're very big on protecting energy. You're big on energy and like, hey, man, like you had that thing. What is that? Chinese bong?
It's called like a Tibetan bowl, something like that. Is there?
It's right there. Yeah. So, but
and that, I believe I have a peaceful energy.
You do have a great energy. Even your house, when I walked in, I felt.
Yeah, it's like we're at peace.
Because even I'll be honest, like it's just been so, I've been so on 10 that right when I walked in, I'm like, all right, I got to relax because there's so much good energy here. And usually I'm on that same energy. And so I say this job, I feel like was stressing you out. One, two, the fact that they were disrespecting your time outside of work, like you're out doing your thing. You're not obligated to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
You're not obligated. I think that's another thing as we're getting older, I'm like putting boundaries and like respect, like old me would have picked up, you know, if I worked at a job and I'm like, oh my God, what is everything good? You know, but
you got to respect your boundaries. Like
you're not on the clock, mother.
And this is for young people watching. If you put a boundary to a company and they see that as you are being an asshole or you're being disrespectful or you are being not putting the extra for the company.
It's not like they're paying you millions a month where you're like, oh my God, they're calling me. I got to pick up. They're paying you what you require, you deserve.
Monica, because we're calling her Monica and I have to remind that so I don't. That, then I'll be editing that did I say her name, but I believe I haven't. But Monica, she spent a lot of hours
doing
extra time with no pay because
but that's on her though she should
yeah that's on know? Her and she understand that but she did a lot of extra time a lot of like hours invested in like oh yeah they want me to stay until 8 I'll stay until 8 and they fired her for a mouse.
That was the because I worked a 9-to-5 after I graduated college and 3 months in I realized oh wait this isn't a safety net they could fire me any day like imagine you're it's actually scarier imagine you're like 10 years into this job that you don't even love. You have other passions. You have other dreams. And those dreams might not pay as much as this job. They might up and get fucking bankrupt the next day. They might F around and fire you. They might F around and get new management. Or they get bought out. And then now they're changing the whole staff. So it's like sometimes you could be the perfect employee, but just a circumstance. And then now you had this, you know, your house that you've been paying for, your car note, you're this, you're this. And now you're really struggling to get a job that fits that same lifestyle. So I remember I saw like my life play out in front of me, my old 9-to-5. So whenever I hear somebody gets fired, hey,
yeah,
get on yourself, you know what I mean?
No, and you know what? I was like, if it didn't happen at this moment, that happened.
It would have been next month.
It would have happened in April, 100%, but 100% because of my family are coming.
Yeah.
To visit me, I haven't seen them in 2 years.
Wow.
And and I said this to, maybe this was my mistake, but whatever. I said this to the person who is like, they don't have HR department, but they have someone that is the person who makes the bridge with the HR department because they is an outsider. But I told her like, in April, I won't stay overtime. It doesn't matter how much money you throw in my face. It doesn't matter how many threats. It doesn't matter how many responsibilities you throw in my face. I will stay for 9 hours. That is like 1 hour more.
Already a lot.
Which is already a lot. But I won't overstay because no amount of money, threats, or responsibilities that you throw at me will give me back the time that I will be missing with my family.
Especially I haven't seen them in 2 years.
And I haven't seen
and
them
if it was
in two
a
years.
Healthy work environment, they probably would have been like, yo, you know, I heard your family's coming next month. Take this weekend off.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do, you know?
And I believe it's better now because if it happened with my family here, my parents will have felt bad.
Oh, like I believe they fired under our
yeah,
watch.
It was because of us. And not on our watch, but I know my mom. My mom would have been like, oh, like I'll be home. It's like, hey, well, I'm not going tomorrow. Yeah. And she's like, why? Oh, because this happened, because I said, like, I'm not staying longer. And she would have felt like, so they fired you because of us.
How long have you been there?
So sorry.
How long have you been there?
A month.
Oh, so they fired you, hired you in a month?
Yeah, like that.
Oh, fuck them,
then. Dude, and again, like, I did so much, like, I did a lot of stuff that have never been done in the company that they never did. And then they're like, where is this?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know.
And you're new. Like,
and I'm new. Like, I need some guidance. And I, dude, the amount of stuff that we did in the last 2 weeks was crazy.
Do you think they're going to be on dirt with paychecks like this last? Also, if they fire
you. No,
I don't know if you know this. This is, you're right. If they fire you, I'm pretty sure that if they fire you, they still got to pay you for those 2 weeks. So even though you're not going to work the next 2 weeks, they're supposed to pay you.
Let's see what they do. Like, but even if they don't, like, don't see this. But if you're the person paying me, don't watch this part of the episode. But it's like,
you're so dumb.
If don't pay me, because if you're gonna be like picky about paying me and like trying to make tricks, it's like, just don't pay me because the energy that you give these people,
you're so dumb with them
for like getting a check that you're missing $400. It's like the energy that you put in there is so much that it's like
cost you your peace.
It's like that, you know what, I'll be fine.
So what's the plan? What's your plan?
I'll start crying from now on. I have like
your eyes are red. Is that what was happening before I came? What if you had like a
the rest of the episode is just me having a breakdown. It's like, no, I try to get in the job market. It's horrible right now.
Have a car? Would you ever do Uber and stuff like this?
Nah, I never want to do that. But you know, every time that I feel like that, like I'm just up in the wild, something happens.
Yeah, God got you, bro.
So something will happen. I'll find something else, and at some point I'll find something that is like, this is it. This is it, and cool. But this is about me.
No, I'm listening.
Well, we have one. We have time for stories from you for your quitting stories.
No.
Because I want to know your side. Like, okay, like I was fired, but I want to know you being like.
I mean, I have the belief where right when it causes me stress, I'm out. Like, I just quit.
Believe in the 2 week notice?
I'll be respectful. If they're respectful with me, I'll be respectful.
Exactly. Is they're respectful with you?
Yeah. If they're on dirt. I'm just not showing up. Fuck
you. You just like, don't come the next day. It's like, that.
I'm so, you know what it is? Just like, I used to be such a people's pleaser, such a, I want to make everyone happy.
And then Ramadan happened.
Like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Fuck you. Every time I quit,
it was
in Ramadan.
I'm fed up. You know what I mean? After a while, people just keep disrespecting you. They step on you. It's just after a while, you got to stand up for yourself. And you got to go like, hold on. Like, let me get some control back and, like, control my life. Like, why am I doing decisions that I don't want to do? Like, this, when you hit me up to do this, I wanted to do it. I'm like, yo, I really just got to find the right time. We made it happen.
And we made it happen. Episode fucking 50. Like, we're
good
halfway
number
of my project that is 100 episodes with comics. After that,
we'll
see what happens. But I believe what will happen is, like, I'm going to start repeating guests, and I'm gonna start like bringing.
Hey, as long as you're being consistent.
Yeah, I'll start bringing people that are not comics that have interesting stories to throw here. But my project is 100 episodes, 100 different comics. From there, we'll see what happens. We're halfway through. Fuck yes.
That's huge, by the way. 50. I think what is it? 90% of podcasts don't make it past episode 10.
Yeah, like episode 21, so wow. 12. I know, I believe it's 12.
So you're fucking...
Yeah,
you're episode 50.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a flex.
Fuck yes.
See, they say he doesn't work hard, huh? Yeah, there
you go. Fucking book me. Fucking book me. Book me or hire me, please.
I think April 11th is going to be a great day for you, because what if you just, you know, you have so much fun at this show, you start doing a monthly show, and then maybe that becomes your full-time...
Yeah, day. Like, who knows? Like, or it's like, okay, let's produce more. Let's sell this show as Melby and Christian to other cities.
Take it on the road.
Take it on the road. Like, who knows? Like, I believe it might be a blessing, these guys, because also, like, if I don't find anything in April, I'll have the whole month to spend with my family instead of, like, going there, missing them for, like, the first... And it's like... It's not winter, but it will be like, I'll come back. It's kind of night, and my dad is an old person. My dad is like at 7 p.m. He clock out. Like, no, you know,
take him out, let them see Chicago. Like,
yeah, for sure. No, fuck them. They will stay here. I don't have money.
How many are coming? Just your mom and dad.
My mom and dad, and my sister is gonna be here for a couple of weeks.
How old is your sister?
She's 27 right now.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Oh, you're 32. Okay, I'm
22. How old are you?
I'm 16. No, 27.
Dude, but I believe the quitting and the understanding, like, the limits, it comes with age.
Time, yeah.
It comes with, because when you're there 18. in the 18, 21, it's like, dude, my first job, I got a band, like, my arm, whatever.
Did you ever fall for the internship pranks?
I like calling internship pranks.
It's just like fucking not pay this guy to work hard, and then like, what the hell?
That, like, you're an intern, but you're gonna do the work of the regular 40 person.
40 hours a week.
But like, we're not gonna pay you. I was like, well, but I'll get a position.
It's called pyramid schemes. That's
like,
what
I'll get a position in the company if I do good.
I've never heard a guy get an internship.
No.
Like, he's the CEO of Walmart now.
He's like, no, you're not. Like, I have a conversation, I believe, with Victoria Fling, I believe it was, that internships are meant for people who are already in a high place in society.
Interesting.
Because if someone offered me, they always say, like the people who are in the high top, they're like, oh, you know what? When I was your age, I was working here and they didn't pay me, but I make the connection with this person, and then I worked there and they didn't pay me, but I just wanted the experience and I met this person. And this person's like, yeah, but you already had money and already have a support system that support that life of not getting paid. If I don't find a job and I don't get paid, if I find an internship, it's like a 6-month internship, it's like, I cannot take it. It doesn't matter if it is on the best company in the world. I cannot be not paid for 6 months.
Yeah.
I need money. I need to pay stuff.
Yeah, especially if you're not, like, you got your own, you got rent, you got your car note, you got insurance, food, like, shit adds up, you know?
Yeah, so the people that can grab these opportunities, because they call it opportunity, I believe it can be opportunities, but the people who can grab them are the people who's like, I can be, like, I live with my parents. I don't need... Yeah. Money for these 6 months.
And also, like, if internship's more than 3 months, you're cooked. Like, if internship, like, let's say I'll probably do something, like, if it's oh my god, the CEO of Pepsi just offered me this great internship and it's for 3 months, that's the maximum. But even then, it's like, they're making money off of you.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's not fair. At least give me the bare minimum. But, like, people, again, it's just, the older we get, I just feel like my patience for that stuff is, so I say all that to say, if I'm working somewhere, I don't enjoy it. I just, hey guys, it's not for me. Like,
do you think this will be? I believe this will be a nice way to test if a work environment is good.
How would you do it?
1 week of the year, you put the whole office in Ramadan and see what the fuck. That'd
be scary, man. Ramadan
dude, if they don't kill each other, dude, this company is thriving. This is
I mean, you know,
1 week everybody's not in, and they're like, Let's try to be
nice,
respectful. Yeah. And if you made it through the week, you are a fucking amazing company.
You're promoted. If you don't make it, you're back to being an intern.
Okay, let's just ram it against a strategy.
In the Middle East, everyone's fasting. You know, when you go, like, when I went to Iraq 2016, I think it was around the same time that it was Ramadan. And mind you, Iraq is like 120 degrees. Like, it's so hot. So the water, like, food, I could go a couple days with no food. It's the water for me that gets you depleted. You know, you get dehydrated and then your head starts hurting. But what they would do is, it's just business would open later. So, like, let's say you have a cell phone shop. Like, people just kind of like, everyone's aware of everyone's situation.
Yeah.
So it's actually like, when everyone's fasting, it's actually such a better vibe because you guys are all on the same page. I'm not going to piss you off today. I know you're having a tough day.
I believe we have a little time for this. Uh-huh. No, you know what? I'll keep this because I believe it's a nice topic.
I'm free
because I do a bonus content.
Oh.
But any shows that you have coming up? Okay, let's close first. Let's close the thing about the jobs. You're gonna say advice and things for younger generations, and I'll do it the same.
Let's do it.
So, Oscar, people, if you're looking for a job and you're being disrespected and your time is being disrespected, really evaluate, because again, Monica, after giving a lot of hours of her life, that she canceled plans, that she canceled days, that she canceled physical therapy, that she canceled like actual therapies for this job, and she was fired over Apple Mouse. So they do not care about you giving the extra. So if they're disrespecting your time, take in consideration that. That one. Second, it doesn't matter how much stress and frustration there is in a job, because there's going to be.
There's so many jobs, yeah.
But you can always be respectful. Like, you can get, dude, this is everybody, like Ramadan. Like, everybody can be fucking hungry, headaches, but it's like wearing this together. Yeah. That's how it should be in an office, wearing this together. And it's like, I'm not going to cheat on you. Or be really mad or angry at you, because we're fucking doing this together. So take that in consideration. If you're feeling in an environment that is like that, look for other options, I guess.
Right.
So now your advice
for people with the if you don't know what you're doing in your life, like there was moments of time where I didn't know what I was doing, so I was like working jobs just to, you know, like I always knew deep down I wanted to do stand up or some form of writing, creative work. But I just didn't have like the strength or the confidence yet or the support system to do it yet. Just work somewhere where you feel respected. And then don't be afraid to quit. Like, I feel like sometimes people get afraid of change. Like, they're so stuck in their job that it's like, if you're not happy, like, time is all you have. So definitely, not saying be a quitter, but definitely just change it up. Don't be afraid to change. And if there's a job out there, if there's no job for you, then you create it. You figure out what you could do and make money off of. You be your own business. You, even if it's selling these, even if it's creating something, like, there is so many options. And fuck it, if you still can find a job, leave the country, go to another country, go to Japan, find someone out there. Like,
but no to Venezuela. Skip, you can skip.
Is that where you came from, Venezuela, right?
Yeah.
Is it doing better now or is
no?
Damn.
So skip Venezuela, but yeah, you can go to another country. You can try something different.
We're doing better. We're looking for more people. So
okay,
so. If you're in Venezuela and you need a job, come to Iraq.
Yeah, come to Iraq. We need people there. So any shows you have coming up? This is going to come up in, not this Saturday, but the next one.
I will say hopefully by next Saturday, I'll announce a little tour. I'll do Houston, Chicago, New York, LA. I'm just waiting. Really, the only thing holding me back is just waiting for confirmation from certain theaters. You know the game.
Yeah.
And so once I get all those booked, I'll put out a flyer. I think I'm going to call it my first rodeo.
I like it.
You know, like, this is not my first rodeo. No, this is my first
this
rodeo.
This is actually
my first rodeo. And so
I like it a lot.
I'll show you, not right now, but like after, like how the flyer looks. The flyer looks sick. Shout out Naveen, a.k.a. Sleepy. He's been my best friend since high school. He does all my creative flyers.
Nice.
And so this one is special. This is a special one.
Of course. So, thank you so much for watching, and watch the bonus content, because we're going to talk about something that I just have questions. But adios. You gotta say adios in Spanish.
Adios.